So we have had a busy Holy Week here. We started with Thursday. We had the Last Supper and we did foot washing. And it was interesting that Thursday morning, Victor Brown, who takes care of the building, I said, Victor, you know, let's come on and let's get things ready for the foot washing. So we filled up the basins and that at 8 a.m. that morning. And the room was cold that day. So there were foot washing and I was part of it. And we had a lot of cold water. I was afraid to put my foot in there. So I've learned we're going to warm the water up a little bit for next year. But it was great. Then on Friday, we had seven last words where we have seven dueling disciples that give a testimony of those seven words. And that was a powerful service. And yesterday, we had the prayer vigil and then we had the Easter egg hunt. And with the Easter egg hunt, we had the Easter Bunny was here. And the Easter Bunny always... you know, is with the kids and kind of comes back here and takes pictures with the kids. And the Easter Bunny yesterday was inspired to go out way on the front yard and wave to everybody that was coming down Broad Street. And you've never heard so much honking in your life. It was great. What a witness Doolin was yesterday with the Easter Bunny just waving like this and everybody stopping and honking their horns. So that's another way that people know Doolin Church. Then this morning we had sunrise at 6:30. Always give the Presbyterian Church down the street a hard time. They have theirs at 7. And I say, Jesus has already risen down at Doolin Church at 6:30 instead of 7 o'clock. And then we had 8:30 worship and now we're here today. Who watches Jeopardy? Let's see. Have you ever watched Jeopardy? Yeah, so Jeopardy has something going on right now. There's a guy, his name is James Holzhauer, and Jeopardy is losing money on him. He has, to date, out of 12 episodes, $850,000. On one particular episode, he set the record of $131,000 in 30 minutes. I think the contestants that he plays against, they should get a do-over when he's not there. But he must be a brilliant young man, just knows a lot of trivia. So I thought that I would come up with a category for him and see how he would do. The category would be Bible, and he could do Bible $1,000, and it would simply say 783,137. And I wonder if he would get it. 783,137. The answer to that is, the question for that is, how many words are in the King James Version Bible? That's a lot of words. 783,137 words. And out of those 783,137 words, there are six words that are foundation to the faith as Christians. Those six words are, Jesus is risen from the dead. Say that with me. Jesus is risen from the dead. If there's anything you need to know is when you leave this place is to know Jesus is risen from the dead. It is who we are. It says who we are. If someone ever comes up to you and say, what do you believe as a Christian? That's all you have to say, those six words. Say it with me. Jesus is risen from the dead. That's why we are here today. And there are 2 billion Christians all around the world that these six simple words hold us together as one. These are the words that those women carried from the empty tomb to the disciples. These are the words that have been passed from person to person, community to community, generations after generations of people. Jesus is risen from the dead. These are the words who have helped countless individuals who have felt loneliness, despair, hopelessness, feel that life is no more for them. And someone has expressed to them the love of Jesus Christ. And they have come to know that Jesus is risen from the dead and has given them hope and salvation. These six words are said at prayer. They're shouted from mountaintops, rooftops, bedsides, dinner tables, neighborhoods, workplaces. These words have been said when governments have said it's not allowed to do this. We'll put you in jail if you say those words. Jesus is risen from the dead. Folks, people have given their lives for the gospel, for these words. I think about the early Christian martyrs, you know, the lion's den at the Colosseum in Rome. Martyrs, people burned at the stake because of their belief. Jesus is risen from the dead. I think of martyrs like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who gave his life for the gospel. I think of persons like Bishop Oscar Romero, that as he was preaching, Jesus is risen from the dead, celebrating Passover in El Salvador, gunned down. Jesus is risen from the dead. I think about folks like Dr. Martin Luther King, a Baptist preacher, trained in a Methodist seminary, preached love of one another, preached against the racism that is so prevalent in our land. Jesus is risen from the dead. These are the words that inspired Desmond Tutu in his ministry in South Africa. I think about in Sri Lanka this previous day, persons going to church in Sri Lanka and bombs being put into those churches and killing Christians because they believe Jesus is risen from the dead. I think about Notre Dame Cathedral, and I was there, I was watching TV, and I saw the little spark and the smoke, and then I kind of was glued to the TV set for a couple of hours and saw the flames just grow and grow and grow, and I saw that wonderful spire with the cross at the top just come down and crash into the floor. I saw the whole roof just collapse. And the next day, they took a picture of the inside of that huge, beautiful room. The pews were just all burned up. The floor was gone. The walls were just covered in soot, all black. But there at the end of that picture was an altar table, and there was a gleaming cross proclaiming Jesus is risen from the dead. That with all this great fire that took place, there was nothing that can hold the love of Jesus down. Jesus is risen from the dead. I think about the story and I kind of chuckle to myself. If you look at the story, it has the women in there and it has the disciples. The women are there and they go to the tomb and they see, they're told, Jesus is risen from the dead, and they go and tell the disciples, and the disciples are their typical, what I call, knuckleheads. They don't believe it. They don't know what's going on. They said, you've lost your mind. Jesus is in there. What in the world? They never got it. And then there's Peter. Peter goes and he says, I'm going to go and find out what this woman said. I'm going to see if it's true. And he goes and he stoops into the tomb and he says, Jesus is not there. What does he do? He goes home. He doesn't say a word. Is that so much like us? We don't have much to say about our faith. It was these women who told the world, Jesus is risen from the dead. And here's Peter, he has to go home and think about it. The American church is seeing a decline like it has never seen in its history. People say, oh, it's because of the preachers. Oh, it's because of people have things to do on Sunday. You know what it is? We're not proclaiming to the world Jesus is risen from the dead. The church does not grow by osmosis. The church grows because we tell other people what the church has done for us, what Jesus means to us, that Jesus has risen from the dead, that's something very important to us, and how Jesus has changed our lives. Because, friends, we live in a world where there is loneliness and despair and hopelessness, and people don't know what to do. And it's up to us to say, look, come to Doolin Church. Here is a community. If you think we're hypocrites, yes, we're hypocrites, but we're here to help one another. And it is here you'll find love and acceptance, and we'll take care of you. And we have the power and love of Jesus Christ in our lives. We can be a witness about how God can change you to make us all a better person. to live out that great commandment of Jesus, to love God with all our mind, body, soul, and strength, and what? Love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what it's all about. So this day, when we leave this place, let us remember Jesus has risen from the dead. That is the message that we're to share with others. Tell the good news. Invite to Doolin Church. There's some of you I haven't seen in a while. This is your opportunity to come back next week and next week and next week. I'm giving you an opportunity. It's up to you. I'm only here to help you, not to make you. But that's the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is for all of us, for everyone. And we can find here a place of love and acceptance. I don't care who you are or what you are. All are welcome here to hear the good news of Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we all say together,
Amen. Amen.